forced religion against his will is still forced religion. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with Bible Stories. Forced religion. How many times have you had a forced religion? How many times have you had people force things down your throat saying, you got to believe this, you got to believe that, this is the truth, this is the reality? And we sort of clam up, we sort of do everything we can to ignore when someone tries to force us to believe something. Now, what is the most effective way of sharing religion, of sharing philosophy? The most effective way of sharing philosophy is to wrap it in the context of the people you're sharing it with, if such is your desire to share it. Now, if you would like people to believe what you believe, then you live it. Then you live it so beautifully and so wonderfully. Now, what is one of the things that you might say is what you live and believe? One of the things you say you might live and believe is where you say that all is in divine order. Now, if you say all is in divine order, and then you go out and you force it, and you go out and you say, we got to do this, now let's get our guns and let's get our weapons and let's get our armies and let's go and force this into being. Well, you don't believe what you say you believe. If every country on earth would use their diplomatic powers, their people who are ambassadors and working together to share the thoughts of other nations with them, if every one of them were willing to work together harmoniously, beautiful things could happen. There need never be another conflict that would upset the nation's economic balance or stable balance or kill people, and it would not have to be. But this means that instead of forcing people against their will for things, that we teach them by our way of living ourselves what we believe to be a very beneficial thing. Now, we feel we are unconditionally loving and we want the rest of the world to be unconditionally loving. Now, we cannot force the rest of the world to be unconditionally loving. We can just be unconditionally loving. Now, in the United States here, we give to foreign countries quite abundantly, and we give and help them with their problems. We help them with all of the things that they're facing and wanting to do. And we build hospitals for them. We build schools for them. We build roads for them. We build all sorts of things for them. And the people in these other countries say, "Yeah, manipulation. The United States is trying to take over control. The United States is trying to buy our affection, to buy our love, and to buy our belief, and to buy our will. And it won't work." Well, that's very true. It will not work. Why does the United Nations, or why do the United States give funds to other third world countries that need to have a little guidance, a little help? Because the United States feels that they are superior, and they feel that we are going to go and be goody-goody people and help them. And rather than that, the Job Corps has gone around the world with people offering their personal help, their personal guidance of on-the-job help. And this has been a very effective way to share who we are. And the people who saw these people in the Job Corps working gained a new respect for the United States. They gained a new respect. They said, "Is everybody in the United States like you?" And, well, that's what we'd like to think, but many are. And many do think this way, and that's beautiful. We change other people's wills. We change other people's attitudes. We give them a new glimpse of our way of thinking without forcing them. Not against their will, but harmonious with what they believe and who they are. we find the parallels, we find the similarities in our philosophy. As I told you, the one man that I was working with in Nigeria, he was a Muslim, and he followed me all over the country as I was lecturing in various places. And he wanted to, at one point, get on my platform with me and speak. And as I told you about this, I said to him, "What would you like to do?" "Well, I'd like to tell people what I believe." And I told him, "Well, then you hire your own platform and go for it." And he says, "Well, I want to do this, and you've got to let me do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that." And I said, "Hey, do you know what your own teachings are? Have you read the writings of Muhammad? Have you read them thoroughly?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, now..." And then I gave him the parallels between his Bible and the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus. And I told him all of the parallels, and I told him how it was the same unconditionally loving attitude that Muhammad taught, the same unconditionally attitude of peace and caring, of respect for the other person's rights, and the rights of women, the rights of men, the rights of all society. And I told him these things, and I said, "This is what your leader taught." The followers got off base a little bit, as the Christian followers sometimes do too. And that doesn't make the original teaching wrong. It makes the original teaching still standing there, waiting to be followed. And so, in giving the parallels, in giving the similarities, in giving the actual word-on-word the sameness, I didn't fight him, I didn't argue with him, I didn't put him down or put me up or put me down or put him up. I just pointed out that we're both teaching the same thing, and therefore he had nothing that he had to say on my platform that I wasn't already saying. And he sat down, puzzled, and he was disturbed, and then he said, "Excuse me." Before, he always said he had to put his hat on before he could speak in my presence. So then he said, "Excuse me, I must take my hat off now to speak in your presence, for you have said greatness." Now you see, what could have been a very unhappy situation turned out to be a very happy situation when I shared that we had similarities. I shared the parallels of our thinking. And as we go around the world, and we want to share who and what we are and what we believe, as we go around the world wanting to tell the rest of the world what beautiful things we believe and how they could believe that too, we take our philosophy and we understand what it is that we believe. And then we read the philosophy of that person, that group that we're interested in understanding and knowing. And we find that there are so many parallels and so many similarities. And so we base our relationship, we base our growth, we base our strength, we base our self on the similarities, on that which is our parallel thinking together. And in doing that, we bring peace and harmony and unconditional love to our experiences and to our world, and to all the things that we're doing. We are walking the perfect path, because the path is one of similarities, not of differences. And whenever nations build their relationship on similarities, they have a happy time. And so whenever you and I build our friendships on similarities, when we build our family life on similarities, then we have truly the greatest gift that the world could ever offer to anyone, and that is the gift of oneness, the gift of caring oneness, everlasting, beautiful, and fantastic. Enter with me into this state of oneness, realizing we never force another, and join with me as I say to you and to all the world, I love you. I love you. I love you.